go, but it still scratches my arm. Medea's journey took her to the water, which was the highway of the ancient world, where death was as close as the waves, the sun, the wind. Where death was as many as the fish wading in the water, fanning fins, watching the surface, shadowing the bottom dark. China barks as if she's answering the dog. The clearing is a wide oval bowl, which must be a dried-up pond that grows wide and deep when it rains. The bottom is matted with dry yellow reeds, and the trees grow in a circle around it. The boys and their dogs talk and smoke in clumps, pass blunts and cigarettes from one to another, ask, "How old is yours?" or, "Where you got that collar?" or, "How many she done had?" There are around 10 dogs here, around 15 boys. I'm the only girl. Marquise's little brother, AG, is here, and he and Junior begin competing to see who can climb the fastest up a gray low-limb tree outside the circle of game dogs and game men. The dogs are brown and tan, black and white, striped brindle, red earth. None of them is white as China. She glows in the sun of the clearing, her ears up, her tail cocked. The dogs nap, pace, bark, strain against the leash, and lean out into the clearing where they'll fight, trying to get into the sun, to feel it on their black wet noses. They'll all match today, one dog against another. The boys have been drawn by gossip of the fight between Kilo and Boss to the clearing like the Argonauts were to Jason at the start of his adventure. They will throw their dogs into the ring, each hoping for a good fight, a savage heart, a win, to return home from the woods, their own dangerous Aegean Sea, to be able to say, "My bitch did it," or "My nigga got him." Some of the boys are nervous. They put their hands in their pockets, take them out, swing their sweat rags in the air and swat at gnats. Some of the boys are confident, shoulders round, and grinning. Big Henry wipes at his face with a sweat rag he's pulled out of his pocket, and Randall leans on his stick, frowning at the frolicking dogs. A hawk circles in the air above us, turns, vanishes. Marquise is standing next to a boy who must be his cousin. They both are the color of pecans. Both have their ears pierced with gold loops, and both are short. But the cousin is a little fatter. His t-shirt is so big it swallows him.
"What's up?" Marquise asks. "This my cousin, Jerome."
"Cuz told me about y'all little problem."
Jerome glances at Marquise and then wipes his head with the rag, already wet, that he's pulled out of his pocket.
"You ain't gotta worry."
He flicks his leash, and his dog, Boss, gets up from where he's been laying in the sun, walks to Jerome's side, and sits. He's black all over, with a white muzzle.
"You said he was big, cuz, but..."
Marquise's whisper trails off to a laugh.
"I didn't think you was talking this big."
Boss is huge. He's fat and tall, and his front legs are so bowed the front of him looks like a horseshoe. Where China's hair is silky, Boss's hair is coarse. So coarse that I can see the fight scars on him that have healed, black and fat as leeches. He lets his tongue hang out, smiles. His sides whoosh out and in as he pants, and he breathes so hard he ripples Jerome's shirt.
"Where the other dog at?"
Marquise rises from petting his own dog, Lala, whose ears he's clipped and put earrings into, loops like his own, to nod across the clearing. Marquise never fights his dog, Lala. She's a soft tan color, and she's almost as clean as China. She lays in pine, cocking an eyebrow at us. Skeeta once told me that Marquise's dog sleeps in the bed with him, in the house every night. Skeeta had shrugged and sort of smiled when he told me, but the way one side of his mouth had gone up while the other side of his mouth had gone down made me think that if Daddy weren't here, China would sleep at the foot of Skeeta's bed every night, too. Across the clearing, Kilo is straining at a leash that Rico holds. He's sniffing at the ground, looking as if he's amazed, and then digging his paws into the dirt. It flies up and out between his back legs. He's tunneling through the dry grass and down through the bed of the pond. I wonder if there are frogs down there, dry and cool, hiding in the cracked mud. If they're trying to flatten themselves to hide from the sharp paw. Rico is half in the sun, half out, laughing toward Manny and some other older dark boy who's worn white shoes that look new to a dogfight in the woods. Rico's grill is bright, but Manny, his arms folded, is more gold than Rico's smile, and I hate him for it.
I done fought boss all the way from Baton Rouge to Pensacola, says Jerome. He won more than he lost.
Boss lays down in the pine straw again, snorts into it, so it flies up like feathers in front of his face.
He ready.
I edge in the shade next to Randall, who's stabbing his stick into the clay earth again and again. Big Henry plucks his shirt away from his front, airs it out. He grins at me. Skeeta stands in the sun, the only boy in the yellow clearing who braves the light with the dogs. He ignores us, looks past us off into the woods, still as China at his side, who ignores us and looks off as well, standing, never sitting. I wonder if he's trained her to do this, to stand at his side, to not dirty even her haunches with sitting so that they gleam. China's white as the sand that will become a pearl. Skeeta, black as an oyster. But they stand as one before these boys, who don't know what it means to love a dog the way that Skeeta does. The boys meet in the middle of the circle, careful to keep their dogs at the edge. They hand their leashes to friends. They huddle to hammer the matches out.
What the fuck you mean you want, boss?
Yours too big for mine.
He a puppy, but he scrappy.
She can take any of them. She ain't weak.
I say a 2-fight limit.
I say 3.
Who gives a fuck what you say?
I say 2-2.
Sugar got at least 2 in her.
Homeboy got 3.
Old Jack can fight every one of them and whip all their asses.
A chorus of groans.
Buddy Lee, too. Truck'll run all y'all over. Do you see Slim? Do you understand what he do to Kilo?
Ain't nobody for Kilo but boss.
Wizard want in on Kilo.
I said Kilo ain't here for nobody but boss.
Y'all heard the man. Kilo ain't here for nobody except boss.
In the middle of the dead circle, the boys snap like air before a storm. Skeeta and China stand at the edge. The boys' arguing rises to an angry buzz, and the air that had been still before swoops and tunnels through the clearing, raising dust, making the boys close their eyes. Maybe Daddy's right. Maybe Katrina is coming for us. Big Henry covers his nose with his rag. Did Medea bless the heroes before they set out on their journey? Did she stand at the deck of that ship like I stand in this clearing, womanly ripe, and weave spells for rain to cloak their departure, to cloak her betrayal? Had Jason told her he loved her? Manny holds Kilo's leash and stares at China. Skeeta and China don't move.
Let's go, Marquis says.
Skeeta and China leave the circle, stand to the side of us, but a little away, a little closer. Skeeta's shirt darkening wetly at the neck, down the middle of his back. China still, except for her ears, which flick away gnats trying to land. Skeeta fought China as soon as he figured she was full grown, at a year. There was always a clear winner to those fights with dogs owned by boys in Bois Sauvage, in St. Catherine. She's fought every one of these dogs, except for 2 of her beginning fights, where China fought but still bled more than the other dog and had part of her ear sliced. She won by bearing down on the other dog, by grabbing his throat with her teeth, her face a fist. The other dog would yelp, and Skeet would call her off. And that's how everyone would know that China had won. Now, no dogs sniff China. No dogs lope over to her and playfully snap, mouth her face or shoulder. She and Skeet stand apart. And when the first fight begins between the first two dogs, they're the only two that stand still. The fight is quick, messy. The dogs meet in the middle and tumble around the side of the pond bed, kicking up dirt and golden grass and sticks and blood. They twist and snarl and whine. The gray shrieks first, but it's the brown and white that falls, pulls away, wanting out of the harsh light, the burning bowl, the searing puffs of wind, the nail, the jerk, the tooth. The boys grab the dogs by the hind legs, pull them away from each other, cuss, let them go again. Junior's bouncing from foot to foot on his toes behind Big Henry, who wipes at his neck, even though he's wiping so often there's no time for sweat to gather, to glaze. Randall, who's been flipping the stick over and over like a band major, has stopped, and he stares at the fight and holds the stick like a club. The gray is pulled away, yelping, while the brown and white one still strains against his boy's hands. Skeeta pets the watching China once, just a touch to the head, and she licks his finger. She never pulls away. "Oh, Jack got him," the gray's boy says, admitting defeat. The brown and white's boy smiles, rubs his dog's head. Marquise's dog, Lala, hops like a rabbit into the bowl, her gold bars flashing, and barks toward the brown and white dog as if she wants to congratulate him. Ojak is still eager. He twists like a question mark, yanks one leg from his boy's hand and bites. Lala skids to a stop, but the brown and white still sinks his teeth into her leg like a stapler. His boy pulls, and Marquise yanks Lala's leash with both hands. The brown and white lets go, growling.
"Hold!"
his boy yells.
"Son of a bitch!"
Marquise screams, and Lala limps to him, yelping. He kneels over her and she melts into him, true to her butter color. The dogs bark and rise up on their hind legs, pulling at their leashes, and the boys strain against them. China shifts on her feet and her breasts sway. Skeeta shakes his head, spits. The boys curl the leashes around their wrists, weave them up their arms. The dogs choke themselves to a standstill, laying their chins on their paws, on the straw and grass. Marquise's dog won't stop whimpering, and when he puts his hand over her lips, slob runs through. After the next fight, Marquise lets her go and she sits with her back to his legs, facing the woods, and bows her head. Junior runs over to her, pets her head. By the time all the dogs but Kilo and Boss have fought, Lala is sitting with her bottom in Marquise's little brother's lap, her head on Junior's thigh, and she's licking his leg. Rico and Kilo walk into the bowl. The other dogs and boys are breathing hard, bloody, wearing sweaty coats. Rico smiles as Kilo grins, stocky but tall where his master is short. His coat is red as the dirt under the pine needles, clean and dry as that. Rico winds the leash around his fist, winds Kilo in, pats him along the rough length of his side, looks up and says,
"We ready?"
Jerome leaves us. Boss waddles next to him. They stop a few feet away from Kilo and Rico. Boss flings his head up twice at Jerome, tapping the leash with his forehead, smiling, and Jerome squats next to him, slowly whispering in his ear. Across the circle, Rico mouths something in Kilo's ear, but the wind blows again and the cloud covers the sun, and their voices are lost in the whispering shuffle of the trees around us. And then the wind lags and catches again, and the cloud moves, and the clearing is a bright ball, and Jerome hollers,
"Ready!"
and unhooks the leash from Boss as Rico backs away from Kilo. Boss and Kilo aren't tethered to anything or anyone, and they're rolling across the bowl, furious at the other who stands in their eyesight, who hasn't lowered tail or head.
"Get him, son!"
Jerome yells. He claps in exclamation marks over and over.
"Get him!"
They meet at the middle. They rise up on their hind legs at the same time, front legs meeting shoulder to shoulder like they're dancing. Boss's head, dull black, whips around first. His is the first bite. Kilo rears back and twists away. He snaps as he falls and sinks his teeth into Boss's neck.
"Shake him! Shake him!"
Rico yells, leaning so far over that he looks like he's going to fall face down in the circle. Kilo ignores him. Kilo bites and lets go, snaps and bites again. His teeth flash white, flash red, flash again.
"Grab him, boy!" Rico yells.
Boss doesn't want to be grabbed. His head is a knife, and he cuts a leaking gash on Kilo's shoulder. He sets Kilo to running red. He's slower than Kilo, but he's strong.
"Come on, son!" Jerome yells.
They both fall, separate. Kilo jumps up before Boss, growls, rushes back in. Boss lumbers to his feet and meets Kilo. They're teeth to teeth. They chew at each other's faces, kissing. They growl into each other's throats.
"Come on, son!"
Jerome yells. But Boss thinks he's been called and that he should run to Jerome. He whirls and pours through the air, black as burnt oil, and jerks to a puddle in the dirt because Kilo has borne down on him, his teeth in Boss's back. Boss flings himself back at Kilo, his growl a great rip.
"Call him!"
Jerome yells. The fight is no longer clean. Jerome has made a mistake.
"Kilo!"
Rico shouts, and he grabs Kilo by his hind legs.
"Kilo!"
It's more a cough than a yell. Kilo lets go, tosses his head through a cloud of dust and hair and droplets of blood. Jerome grabs Boss by his front leg. Rico drags Kilo by his hind legs across the bowl, away from Boss. Both dogs are peppered in cuts. Rico's shirt is not so wide anymore. Jerome kneels, presses his rag into the wound on Boss's back. It shows black through the rag, and when he wipes the gash, the blood runs clean. He presses again, waits until it's a trickle. Boss's white muzzle is streaked with red. Jerome nods at Rico.
"Again?"
Jerome calls.
"Yeah,"
Rico says. Junior lets Lala's head fall in the dirt.
"I'm going back to the tree,"
he says to Marquise's little brother.
"You coming?"
They leave Lala to sit up, looking confused. Big Henry stands with his arms crossed over his chest. Randall stares at Boss's back, his stick hanging at the side of his leg before he flips it up to rest on his shoulder. And he sighs. Jerome slaps Boss on his haunch, and he's off across the clearing to meet Kilo. The two dogs blur into one. They have two heads, four legs, two tails. They are an ancient beast, fierce, all growling hunger, rising up out of the sea. Boss's head whips back, distinct for a blink, and he buries his teeth behind Kilo's shoulder.
"Shit," Randall breathes.
Kilo gurgles and bends himself almost in two, grabbing Boss's front leg.
"Shake him, son! Shake him!"
Rico yells.
"Get him!"
Jerome shouts. They're boiling, red against black. Kilo's trying to shake blood loose. Boss growls and shakes his head again and again, giving back to Kilo what he's given. Neither rips, neither folds.
"They're even," Big Henry says.
Boss and Kilo's teeth are grinding into each other with each asking and answering jerk. They're sharpening the knives of their canines on a whetstone of flesh. Both hold. Neither will give.
Call it, Skeeta says.
Boss!
Jerome yells and grabs Boss's back leg and drags.
Kilo!
Rico grabs. The dogs pull apart or dragged away. Boss has many cuts, and his white muzzle has never been white, has always been red. Kilo's red shoulders look spread with redder yarn, a ratty maroon shawl, and his breathing is the loudest sound in the clearing over the dying and rising wind. Daddy's hurricane is sending out feelers.
Kilo got it, Rico says.
Bullshit, says Jerome. What you talking about? He had him, says Manny.
I don't know what you saw, but it sure wasn't Kilo winning, says Marquise.
Everybody saw Kilo got him,
says Rico's friend wearing the white shoes, which have turned yellow-brown.
Everybody didn't see shit. It was even, says Big Henry.
And suddenly everyone is talking at once. Kilo had him.
No, Boss had him. Nigga, you blind?
No, you.
All the boys argue. The dogs around them bark and roll in the pine and lick their wounds and wag their tails. They raise their wet noses to the moving wind. Rico rises from wiping Kilo, who bleeds and smiles. Rico clips Kilo's leash and leads his dog, who saunters with his head down, across the clearing to us. Rico's frowning at Skeeta, who still stands apart at the edge of the bowl, one finger a hair's width above China's head. She's so bright, it's hard to look at her.
So when I get my puppy?
Rico asks Skeeta.
My dog ain't loose,
says Jerome, clipping and standing.
Ain't no clear winner, says Marquise.
You hear everybody talking. It's a draw,
Randall says, and he moves forward to stand next to Jerome, facing Rico. Rico sniffs and spits. I wish the wind would catch it, throw it back in his face or on his white, white shoes. Randall's stick is across his shoulders and behind his neck, and his arms hang over it like a scarecrow's. Big Henry shadows him, flanks Marquise. Manny starts walking across the clearing, the boy with the yellowed shoes behind him. They're all coming, all meeting in the middle, like the dogs.
I said.
Rico points his finger at Skeeta and China, who pants at his side.
Where's my puppy?
He walks toward Skeet and the boys, who have moved into a loose cell around Rico and Jerome. Marquise is bouncing on his toes, curling his hands. If I were a boy, I would fight like Marquise, I think.
No, says Jerome. My dog didn't lose. Most it is a draw.
I give a fuck what you say,
says Rico, his finger now swinging to Jerome, his eyes on Skeeter.
And I want the white one.
It's a draw. It's a tie.
Randall blocks Rico, stands in front of Skeeta. He rolls his shoulder, grabs the stick in one hand, swings it wide and holds it like a baseball bat. Everyone is drawing together in a knot, tighter and tighter, black against the day.
You can't decide it.
Yeah, Skeeta says. We can.
He unhooks the dull, heavy chain from China's neck, smiles. She smiles with him.
How you gonna fight her?
Randall scream whispered at Skeeta after Rico started laughing and led Kilo across the clearing to rub him down.
She's a mother!
The boys and their dogs spread around the circle of the clearing, the knot loosened, frayed.
And he's a father!
Skeeta said, motioning toward Kilo.
And what fucking difference does it make?
China nosed Skeeta's side.
Her titties,
Randall said.
Are for the puppies, And you don't have to worry about that,
Skeeter breathed.
The puppies, Randall said.
What about the puppies? We all fight, said Skeeter.
Everybody. Now leave me the fuck alone so I can talk to my dog, he said.
Randall? Junior and Marquise's little brother have scampered down from their mimosa tree.
Skeeter gonna fight China?
Go back to your tree, Randall says.
I mean it. Up.
Go ahead, I tell Junior, and don't come down till it's done.
Junior picks up a stick, throws it at Marquise's little brother, who wears a bright green shirt dusted with pink flowers from the tree and jean shorts with creases. His mother did that, I think.
Don't fall, I say.
All right,
Junior huffs, to let me know that I'm getting on his nerves, and then they're running away. Marquise is speaking loudly in the kind of voice that wants to be heard, and saying that he thinks Rico is a bitch, his dog is a weak bitch, and hell nah, Kilo didn't win. Big Henry is shaking his head, rubbing his forehead over and over with a sweat rag. Jerome is agreeing with Marquise, loudly. I can see why they're cousins. Boss is lounging again at Jerome's feet, bleeding faintly, tongue out, grinning again. Blood runs in his eye and he blinks. Kilo lolls on his back in the straw, curving into a C again and again. Randall swinging his stick back and forth, again and again like a golf club now, catching vines, ripping them down from their branches. He looks at me, his upper lip tight.
Well?
Randall swings, and the stick flings up dirt and dry pine needles.
They'll die. Fucking camp.
He spits. Across the circle, Manny's watching us. When the dogs were fighting, rolling like the spokes around the wheel of the clearing, gnashing and struggling muscle to muscle, tooth to tooth, it was easy to narrow my vision, to avoid Manny. Manny's eyebrows are together. His eyes are big. They almost look sorry. I tell myself I don't care and imagine myself tall as Medea, wearing purple and green robes, bones and gold for jewelry. Even though it feels awkward, I pull my shoulders back when I walk toward Skeeter, who's on the edge of the clearing in a cluster of ground palms, kneeling, whispering into China's ear, rubbing her so hard her skin slides and ripples with his hand. Skeeter smooths her, talks to her. Her fur looks silver in the shade. China is standing very still, staring across the clearing. Skeeter's tongue darts out of his mouth, and a razor I didn't know he had in his cheek flips out and over the tip of his tongue before he sucks it all back inside. He's reciting something, and he's saying it so fast that it sounds like he's singing it.
China white, he breathes. My China, like bleach China, hitting and turning them red and white China, like coca China, so hard they breathe you up and they nosebleed China. Make them runny China, make insides outsides China, make them think they snorted the razor China. Leave them shaking, China. Make them love you, China. Make them need you, China. Make them know even though they want to, they can't live without you, China. My China. He mumbles. Make them know. Make them know. Make them know.
When Skeeter faces Rico across the clearing, he's left China's chain on the ground and taken the chrome from her throat. She stands at his right leg, ears up, tail straight, and nothing moves on her. I can't even tell if she's breathing. She's white. So white. She's the pure white heart of a flame. Kilo is all red, all muscle, a moving heart in the clearing. He barks high once, and Rico unclips his leash and slaps him. Kilo runs.
Go. Skeeter says.
China shoots across the clearing before Kilo can get to the middle, and she meets him with a searing growl. There are no snaps to legs or faces for her. There's only Kilo's neck. She rises with him, slings her head forth, and bites.
Watch her, son, Rico yells.
China grabs Kilo at the back of the neck again. She sinks her face into him. When she draws back, her jaws are shut and she rips fur. She gasps like she's drawing a breath, and she dives in again with her teeth.
Come on, Kilo, Rico yells.
She would burrow into him with her head like a worm tunneling into red earth.
Kilo,
Rico yells. Kilo dies from the drive of her head. He latches onto China's leg. It's a weak move, easy, and I think that Rico has taught him this.
Now shake her, boy, Rico screams.
Kilo is shaking her. China is boring with her head again and again, turning what had been a shawl into a bright red scarf. But Rico is pulling at her leg, rippling from side to side, his muscles boiling so his fur is no longer earth, but water again, a red flood. He growls with each jerk, but the last one, as China swallows his ear and the side of his face with her sharp jaw and bites, slides into a squeak.
Grab her,
yells Rico. Skeeter refolds his arms, bows his head. China kisses the side of Kilo's face, a face tonguing lover's kiss, mother to father, deeply.
Fucking grab her, Rico yells. China,
Skeeter calls, and China lets Kilo go even though he still gnaws at her foot. She looks back at Skeeter as if to say, I'm coming, love. I'm here.
Kilo,
Rico yells. He grabs Kilo by the back leg and drags the dog toward him. Kilo smacks open his lips as if he's just eaten something he likes, and China's leg comes free. She's bounding toward Skeeter, her smile red like smudged lipstick. The blood on her leg is a crimson garter.
Fuck! He don't even have to drag her, Jerome says.
Rico wipes at Kilo's neck until the blood looks less like a scarf and more like a necklace. He studies his dog, who breathes so hard he sprays the ground with spit and blood, his nose to the earth. Manny kneels next to Rico, whispers. I know that whatever Manny is saying is showing the meanness in him, that he's Jason betraying Medea and asking for the hand of the daughter of the King of Corinth in marriage after Medea has killed her brother for him, betrayed her father. Manny's mouth moves, and I read,
she ain't shit. Ain't got no heart.
He looks at China when he murmurs, but it feels like he looks at me.
You ready?
Asks Skeeter. China stands next to him, heedless of the blood speckling her sides, her lips firmly sealed, her ribs billowing and clenching. She stands evenly on the leg Kilo has chewed, which is red and gummy and raw above the joint. Rico flashes a hand, quiets Manny. Manny stands, Rico with him. The boys have moved. They cluster behind Rico and behind Skeeter so that I have to move to the edge to see the dry pond bed, the red dashes where blood has fallen. The circle of boys that the dogs fought in all day has dissipated like fog.
Fucking right, Rico says.
He slaps Kilo's side. Kilo grunts to a stand, staggers to a run to the middle of the bowl. He's a creek becoming a river.
Go,
Skeeter says. China raises her head to the sun and barks once, twice. It's a laugh. She digs her feet into the straw and jumps to a sprint.
Grab her,
Rico yells. Kilo eddies around China's shoulder, swirls and bites. China bites back, returns the kiss savagely.
Grab her, son,
Rico yells. They rise and clench each other with their arms, stand on their back legs. China kicks first with her front feet, pushes away from Kilo's chest to unfurl like a whip, to lash back around with her head, to bite and rip again. But when she leans back, it's as if Kilo has just seen her breasts, white and full and heavy and warm, and he bows his head like a puppy to drink. But he doesn't drink. He bites. He swallows her breast.
No, Skeeta says. Shaker, Rico calls.
Kilo is a whirlpool, spinning China, shaking her. She claws at him with her paws, her jaw wide, and tries to eat his eyes, but Kilo will not let go.
Jump! Skeeta yells. Jump, China!
It's what he tells her to do when he wants her to jump from trees, to leap, to fly. China bows into Kilo. She gathers herself, flexes like a muscle. She tongues Kilo's ear and bites and then leans back and pushes hard with her feet all at once. She rips. Her breast is bloody, torn, the nipple missing.
China!
Skeeta calls, and China lands on her front feet, already running toward him. Kilo howls and falls backward away from China, his ear ragged.
Come, Kilo! Rico calls.
And Kilo runs to Rico, dragging his ragged ear along the ground, butting Rico's leg and leaving a bloody print.
I told you, Skeet, Randall says. Shut up, Skeeta says.
The gash is a red flame swallowing her breast.
She can't fight, Randall says.
Skeeta is squeezing China's neck, murmuring in her ear. This time, I can't hear what he says. Skeeta is whispering so closely to China's ear, I only catch half of his lips behind the red-veined white of her ear. Her breast drips blood. China licks Skeeta's cheek. Rico stands, already smiling.
Maybe I don't want the white one, Rico says. Maybe I want the colored one that got more Kilo in it.
He laughs. Skeeta stands and China, stout and white, looks up at him.
She fights, Skeeta says.
Randall pulls the stick from his shoulders, swings it around to his front.
She's already fucked up enough, Randall says.
Cause if she lost, she lost,
Big Henry says, slowly, as if he's tasting the words.
She didn't lose, Skeeta breathes.
Rico laughs. Skeeta shrugs and touches the tip of China's nose with his finger.
She's mine, and she fights.
Kilo grimaces.
Let's give this nigga what he want, Rico says to Kilo.
There is sweat and blood running red and gray down China's ribs.
Go ahead, Kilo.
Kilo runs.
Go, China, go!
Skeeta screams, and China hurtles forward, her bloody breast streaming fluid, leaving a trail in the brush. They meet. They rise. They embrace. They bite neck to neck. They rip growls from each other, and the wind punches into the clearing and carries the growls away. Kilo grabs China's shoulder again, jerks his neck to make her shake. Skeeta's fists are curled tight, and his whole body seems to bristle.
Make him know,
Skeeta calls, barely louder than speaking. China hears.
Make him know.
She is fire. China flings her head back into the air as if eating oxygen, gaining strength, and burns back down to Kilo and takes his neck in her teeth. She bears down, curling to him, a loving flame and licks. She flips over and is on top of him, even though he still has her shoulder. He roils beneath her. She chews. Fire evaporates water.
Make them know. Make them know. Make them know they can't live without you,
Skeeta says. China hears.
Hello, father, she says, tonguing Kilo. I don't have milk for you.
China blazes. Kilo snaps at her breast again, but she shoulders him away.
but I do have this. Her jaw as a mousetrap snaps shut around the mouse of Kilo's neck. When Kilo screams, it is loud and high as if the wind whistles when it slides past China's teeth. Skeeta smiles. Skeeta calls. Come, China. China spins, takes away part of Kilo's throat. China comes.
Hold! Hold!
Rico screams, sweaty, his face twisted sour. He drags Kilo across the dusty bottom of the pond. Manny kneels, takes in me, Skeeta, and China in one glance, and looks like he hates us all. I wish it wouldn't hurt, but it does. Kilo keens. There are pink mimosa flowers drifting and falling on the breeze. Marquise's brother has left Junior. He scampered out of the tree to hide his face in Jerome's leg while his pink-dusted shoulders shudder. Junior squats in the mimosa still, his hands white on the branches, jerking as if he would break the wood. His eyes are wide, glued to the screaming Kilo. Junior shakes a beat to Kilo's keening, and it's a song. The ninth day. Hurricane eclipse. The sound of someone throwing up in the bathroom wakes me. In my half-sleep, I see myself in the bathroom, hunched over the toilet, one hand on the back of the bowl, vomiting. But then the retching becomes louder. Sounds like my tongue is curling up and out of my throat, and I realize I'm not throwing up. I've never been so loud. I've never made that sound. The bathroom disappears, and I wake up to the half-light of dawn, the ceiling. Junior asleep in his twin bed with his sheets and pillow kicked to the floor, and our door cracked. It's Daddy on the floor of the bathroom. Daddy with one hand on the back of the bowl, one knee on the floor. Daddy looking like he's about to dive into the toilet, lose his tongue. Daddy?
Get Randall.
He breathes, and then his back curves and he sounds like he's being ripped. The hallway is still dark. Randall is in his bed, Skeeta isn't. After the match yesterday, he washed China under the light bulb outside the back door. He rubbed her down and then sat on the back steps and dabbed antibiotic ointment from a dirty, crumpled tube onto her where Kilo had torn her and made the flesh show. Her leg and shoulder and her ripped breast looked like meat. And Skeeta took the same worn-out ace bandage he'd wrapped his side with and cut it in thirds. He wrapped her leg, her neck and shoulder, her stomach, and pinned. She stood, eyes slit, panting easily, letting him patch her up. Every few minutes she would wag her tail, and he would rub her somewhere it wasn't red. Her feet, her back, her tail. He must have slept in the shed with her. I have to shove Randall twice before he wakes up, his eyes rolling white, his arms up to guard his face.
What? He says. What's going on?
It's Daddy. He's in the bathroom throwing up. Randall looks at me like he can't see me.
What?
Daddy, in the bathroom. He's sick. Randall nods at me, blinks. He's waking. Said he needed you. By the time we get to the end of the hallway, Randall is bouncing, shaking the sleep off his arms and legs. Daddy has laid his head on the toilet, his face turned to us, his eyes closed, his arms hanging knuckle down on the peeling tile so that they look like sapling pine trees.
I'm sick,
Daddy moans.
Can't stop.
Come on, Daddy.
No.
Daddy tries to push Randall away from him as Randall bends over, grabbing Daddy under his arms. But Daddy is weak, and his hands fall away like dry branches.
Got to stay by the toilet.
I'ma put a garbage can next to your bed.
Randall tugs Daddy up, gets his chest in the air. But Daddy's legs drag, and Daddy hangs there limp as sheets on a clothesline before they've been stretched and pinned. When the grandparents were still living, Mama washed all the sheets for both houses at once, and there was so much bedding that Daddy had to hang extra lines. Mama would walk through and hang them bunched first before spreading them. The sheets were so thin, we could almost see through them. They made cloudy rooms, and we played hide-and-seek in them. In the winter, they made our faces wet and achingly cold. But in the summer, it was so hot, the sheets didn't stay wet long, but we smashed our faces into them anyway, trying to find the hidden cool. Mama yelled at us for dirtying them once when we left muddy prints on them. Afterward, we let our hands hover over them, shoved our noses into them to see if we could see the other person running down the next billowing hallway. Now, washing and hanging clothes is me and Randall's job. I don't even think Skeeter knows how to work the washing machine. "Grab his legs," Randall says. So I bend and lift. Daddy's heavier than he looks. His eyes are closed and he's wheezing into his bicep. His breath gargles in his throat. "Come on." I have to back down the dark hallway, so we shuffle slowly. After Mama died, Daddy taught Randall and me how to use the washing machine. It was our job to wash the sheets, to hang them up. At first, we only washed them when Daddy told us to, and later, we washed them when they'd get so dirty we'd wake up often in the middle of the night, itching, scratching a shin, an ankle. This is how we hung the sheets in the beginning, when we were both too short to put them over the line, the wet sheet sagging in the middle, us counting and lifting and flinging the damp cotton at the same time, hoping it would catch. Daddy's ankles feel smooth as oranges. I don't expect them to be so smooth. 1, 2, 3, Randall says, and we're lifting and rolling Daddy into the bed like our sheets. For one moment, Randall is half his size, thin as a stretched belt, his knees big as softballs, all bone and skin, and we're children again. And Mama has just died, and we're hanging our sheets. My eyes sting. Daddy leaves a wet trail across the pillowcase. He moans and holds his bad hand. There are more beer cans on the nightstand, half empty. They shake when Randall kneels next to the bed, looking for Daddy's medicine, which is on the floor. "Your hand hurt?" Randall asks. Daddy rolls on his side, facing us, and I go to the bathroom and come back with the garbage can and put it under his nose next to the bed. There are candy wrappers and wadded-up toilet paper at the bottom of the can, but it's mostly empty. Randall turns on Daddy's bedside lamp, reads the bottles to see which is his pain medicine. He's big and dark, and every inch of him is pebbled with muscle. And sometimes I wonder if Daddy is amazed at how this tall machine of a boy came out of him and Mama. Sometimes I wonder if he's amazed at Randall. And then I see Manny, almost as bright as China in the clearing, and wonder what will come from him and me. Something gold and broad like him? Black and small like me? Or something more than either of us? Daddy came to one of Randall's games once and stood by the gym doors the entire time, nodding to himself with his baseball cap in his hand, frowning at the court and half watching the game. He left before halftime. "Daddy, it says here you wasn't supposed to drink alcohol with these antibiotics or with these pain pills." Daddy shakes his head and lays still.
"Beer ain't nothing," he croaks into the pillow. "Just like a cold drink."
"It's probably why you throwing up."
"I can't lay here."
Daddy's good hand is shaking.
"Got to get the house ready."
"Esh, get me some water." Randall grabs a can, crushes it in one hand with his long fingers, which closes like a spider. And take these with you.
I load the beer cans into my shirt. Daddy mumbles. When I come back with the water, Randall is handing Daddy his pills, and Daddy is at least up on an elbow, even if the side of his head is smashed into the headboard. He gulps down all the water and the pills, as if taking it down fast will stop it from coming back up later.
The hurricane,
Daddy says.
You tell us what to do, Randall says, and then asks me to get Daddy 2 pieces of bread for his stomach and put them on the table.
The breeze has become a wind today. It gusts stronger, harder than yesterday in the woods and clearing. With my fingers, I find a flashlight in the metal storage box on the back of Daddy's pickup truck, along with a hammer and a drill. The nails are all along the bottom of the box, like feathers and hay in a chicken coop.
The windows first,
Daddy had said.
You have to cover all the windows.
Picking the nails out is slow. I prick my finger on one, suck it, but there isn't any blood, just the pain. I wonder if China's ruined nipple will feel like this in her puppy's mouth when it heals. Hard, healed over hurt. Skeeta walks out of the door of the shed and slides the tin slab he's been using as a door back in place. He turns on the water at the faucet, bends and drinks, lets it run over his head. When he comes over to me, the water is streaming in beads down his neck, down and over his collarbone like Kilo's red shawl.
What y'all in Daddy's truck for?
He's sick, I say. Randall is leaning half in and half out of the truck, tuning the radio to the black radio station. His legs are so long that they rest flat-footed on the hard-packed dirt below the passenger door. He yells into the windshield so Skeeta can hear him.
He wants us to get the house ready for the hurricane.
He say to do the boards first, I tell Skeeter. He's shirtless, and his belt is looped so tight around his shorts that his waistband hangs from it like a shower curtain, and the leather cuts into his skin. They're the shorts from the day before. I was right. He slept in the shed with China.
I can't, Skeeter says. I need to wash China again. Treat her cuts. Make sure they don't start looking ugly.
That's gonna take, what, 15-30 minutes?
Randall is leaning out of the truck now, the music curling back up behind him, tiny and metal-sounding because Daddy's truck doesn't have any bass. The song tinkles to an end, and the DJ, a woman, speaks smoothly, her voice calm and almost as deep as a man's.
Hurricane Katrina is now a Category 3 hurricane. It's scheduled to make landfall in Burris Triumph, Louisiana, sometime Monday morning. The NHC has issued a hurricane watch for southeastern Louisiana and the Mississippi and Alabama coasts. We at JZ94.5 will keep you updated about the status of the storm throughout.
Randall switches off the radio. Skeeta works his mouth, looks down at the ground. His eyebrows, so dark and even they look drawn on, meet and form a hook. Daddy's do that. Mine are so light you can barely see them.
I need to go to the store for some supplies, wraps and stuff, Skeeta says. You can pick up some more canned goods when you go.
Randall rolls his eyes.
I ain't got no money for that.
Well then, how was you gonna get...
Randall stops mid-sentence.
Shit. I'll get some money from Daddy's wallet. Get the cheapest. Anything in a can. We ain't gonna be able to cook nothing.
I know that, Skeeta says.
I shouldn't even have asked.
Randall rubs his head.
Don't get caught.
I don't.
How are you going?
I already called Big Henry.
Hurry up and get back.
Randall turns on the radio station again. The rapper sounds like a squirrel. Randall starts fidgeting with the knob, but leans out again.
We need your help.
Yeah, Skeeta says.
He wipes the water shawl away, and it smears to a tie running down the middle of his ribs. The air is so hot and close that even with the wind, the water will not evaporate.
Keep an eye on China, he says,
and the sudden wind takes him into the house. Junior? I need him to pick the nails out of the bin. His small spider fingers can do it better than mine. He's not in his bed, but his sheets and pillow are still on the floor. I pick them up, put them on the mattress. The curtain at our window flutters. I turn the fan off. Junior! He isn't in the bathroom. Whoever used it last left the toilet seat up, as usual. The door to Skeeta and Randall's room is closed. I can hear Skeeta shuffling around inside. There's a hole in the bottom middle of their door from where Skeeta got mad once and kicked in a dent. Daddy came up behind him and kicked him hard for that one, and then tried to slap him in the face.
Junior in there?
Nah.
The walls are so thin, it sounds like Skeeta is standing next to me. It was because of China that Skeet had kicked the wall. Once China got fat enough and her breasts big enough for Daddy to notice that she was pregnant, Daddy told Skeet he didn't want the pit overrun by dogs. He was drunk when he said it, and he didn't say it again after that night. After Skeeta had blocked his hand when Daddy tried to slap him and said, "Don't hit me in the face," like he would take it anywhere else but there.
Junior!
He's standing next to Daddy's bed, his small, narrow back to me, his bald head bent. One arm hangs at his side, and the other he holds in front of him like he's in an Easter egg race, balancing a boiled egg on a spoon. But there's no spoon here, only his pointed finger, which he holds steadily in front of Daddy's sleeping nose, nearly brushing Daddy's scraggly mustache, the naked chicken skin above Daddy's lip. I've never seen Junior so still.
What are you doing?
Junior jumps. He turns and whips his finger behind his back. There are bruises under his eyes, so he looks like a little brown, nervous man. I grab the finger and pull him out of the room, shut the door.
Ash?
Junior whispers. He looks at the floor like he's looking through it, down to his hollows in the dirt under the house.
What was that?
I ask. I squeeze, and there is only skin over bone. His finger is still pointed. He moans and tries to pull away, but I hold.
He wasn't breathing.
What do you mean he wasn't breathing? I drag him down the hallway, and he curls and drops and digs in with his feet, but I get him to our room. I kneel in front of him.
What were you doing?
Junior's looking at my throat, my hand, anywhere but my face. I yank, and he looks at my face.
He looked like he was asleep, but then he looked like he wasn't breathing, so I wanted to feel him breathe. Let me go!
Don't go in there when he's asleep no more. I shake Junior's arm again. He's sick.
I know,
Junior mules.
I know he's sick.
Junior closes his hand and pulls suddenly, and his hand slides between mine like wet rope and is out.
I know about his hand and the beer and his medicine,
he bounces.
I saw it when he smashed it. I found it.
Gets louder.
I see things.
Found what?
His ring. Junior. Here,
Junior yells. I can't see his baby teeth, small and yellow like candy. Only his throat, wet and pink, and he's an infant again. His mouth always open, always trying to find the nipple so that he'd grab our fingers, the blanket, his bib, the paws of his lost dogs, and suck them. He's the baby Junior, and then he isn't. He's a miniature Skeeta, and the hand he hadn't been using to check Daddy's breathing digs into his pockets and whips something out. Something small and maroon, the size of a quarter, and throws it across the room.
It wasn't no good to him, no way!
He's breathing like he's been running, and then he's skittering down the hallway like a spider. I almost catch him at the steps.